The Roberts family is just a family of faith. His brothers, just every Roberts I know is a man of faith, and I'm so glad that I've got to meet them, and their churches are churches of faith. They want to see the gifts of the Spirit flowing in their churches. They want to see the power of God moving, and I'm so thankful that there's still people that want to see this every time we get together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was just in Scotland. Your pastor was in Vietnam at the same time. But I was in Scotland, and I want this to really testify to you that God can do great things here in Cleveland. But as I was in Scotland, you don't think, when you think of Scotland, you're not thinking of an African community, or you're not thinking of Hispanics, or you know, any. You're thinking of, you know, Scottish people with strong accents where you can't really understand them, and fish and chips, and you're thinking of these types of things. But when we were in Scotland, the missionary Brother Beek had been praying for 1 month. One of his ministers, a Hispanic gentleman, had a burden for the Hispanic community, and they had no contacts, not one contact, and they just said, we're going to pray and we're going to fast, that God would open up a door in the Hispanic community. They found one person. In 1 month's time, they found one person. And throughout that one contact, we had our first church service. It was our first Sunday there. Our first church service, there was 35 new converts. So literally, a Hispanic work was started overnight. And in that first service, it wasn't this hyped, power-packed, and I wish it really was, but it wasn't this hyped-up thing, but the preacher just preached that there would be just doctrine, and he preached unity, and he preached the oneness, and he preached about baptism in Jesus' name and speaking in other tongues. And my wife and I, we led the worship for that service, but at the altar call, he just said, I'm going to pray for you right now, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. They just came up, and five of them out of the 35 received the Holy Ghost. These are first-time guests. And then the following week, another received the Holy Ghost. So I'm so thankful what God will do when we have the faith to step out and believe for Him to do something, to open a door where there was no door. And so I want this to testify to you here, because sometimes we get discouraged that we've put so many different things out there. We've tried so many different avenues to reach people. But if you can just reach one, you don't know if that one person can fill the whole back pew, all those back pews back there. That one person, their testimony might be able to reach this, to fill this church up. You never know what God will do if you'll just have the faith to believe that He can do it, and begin to pray and fast and believe Him for it. I have heard people say, even from the pulpit I've heard this, but I have heard people say that you can't have blowout services every single week. I've heard that. I've had friends that have told me that. It's just not possible. The problem with this statement is, whether there's a blowout service or not, you need to have the faith for it. You need to have the faith that every time we gather together, that there's going to be a blowout service, that there's going to be a Holy Ghost revival, that there's going to be miracles, signs, and wonders. Whether it happens or not, you need to walk through those doors with the faith to say, I'm expecting great things today. I'm expecting God to move among us. I'm expecting God to speak to me. You need to come with that type of faith, with that type of expectation. Because God will do exploits. He will do great things among us. Today, my prayer is that you would leave here empowered by the Holy Ghost with boldness. that your faith would be increased today. I have come with great expectation that God is going to do something here. I have come with great expectation that God will heal people, that He will deliver people, that He will make you a new creation. In my text in Hebrews chapter 1, you can stand for the reading of the word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And then I'm also going to read Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. But Hebrews 11, 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then going to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Sometimes I think we quote this scripture as a cliche, that we kind of just throw it out there without that expectation behind it. But truly, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. If you can try and wrap your head around that, that means that He will do things that we can't even comprehend. He will do things that you can't even fathom in your mind. So we must come with great expectation that God will blow your mind. That yes, we could have a blowout service every time we gather together, because His word says that He would do it exceedingly, abundantly, above all that my mind can even comprehend, above all that I could ever ask of Him. And so if I'm asking of Him, it's not too much, because He would do more than what I could ask of Him. He will do more than what I could think that He could do, because He's such a good God. He's such a mighty God. And I'm so glad that I serve this great big God. Hallelujah. 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 Now, before I go any further, I want to say this. At any point as I'm preaching, if you feel to respond, do not hesitate. Do not hesitate. If you feel like what I'm saying is for you, and that you need healing, or you need restoration, or you need deliverance, or you need your marriage to be put back together, or you need a financial blessing, if what I say resonates with your spirit and you say, "Yes, that's me, I need that," then don't hesitate to respond. You can come to this altar. I'm not here to preach what Isaiah has to say, but I'm here that God would do something great among you. He has already spoken to me what He wants to do here. So I'm just encouraging you to respond when you feel it. The title of my message is this: Advance in Faith. Advance in faith. Can we pray right now that God would bring revelation and understanding in this place? Father, I pray right now, by the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, I loose miracles, signs, and wonders. I loose revelation into this building right now. Open our hearts, open our minds, that we could receive Your Word today, that it would change us, that it would transform us, that it would grow inside of us, Lord. I pray You would anoint my lips, that I might speak Your truth with boldness, with clarity, that it would go and penetrate the hearts of these people here today, that it would extend past this building into this city, and it would begin to penetrate the hearts of every lost person in this city. Father, I'm praying with great expectation that You would do great works, great exploits, because You have said in Your word that You would do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. And Your word says that now faith is the substance that things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I am hoping that the unseen stuff would be seen here today. Father, I've come with great expectation that You will work in this place. Thank you, Lord. And to you be all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I am convinced that we have not even come close. We have not even come close to what God is wanting to do through the church. We have not even scratched the surface. We have not even touched what God is truly wanting to do through the church. We have had great services. Many have been filled with the Holy Ghost. How many total just in the last week? 8 or 9? 9 people have received the Holy Ghost in this church, from this church in the last week. That's something to praise God about. That's something to worship Him about. That's something that we should exalt His name, lift Him up, scream it from the rooftops. We should be so excited about what God is doing. And I'm not here to discount that. I'm not here to say that that wasn't good enough. But God has so much more for us. God has so much more. There's services that there's going to be 30 that get the Holy Ghost. There's going to be services where every single person that comes in this building will get the Holy Ghost. I believe even that there will be services here in Cleveland that even hundreds can get the Holy Ghost at one time. I am here to speak great faith. I am here to declare to you, it's time to advance in your faith. You need to advance in your faith. We have had great services, many filled with the Holy Ghost, even many being filled. I've heard lumps of cancer or maybe tumors just disappear. Great miracles, great signs and wonders of all kinds. And I don't want to discount that, but God has so much more. He has so much more for this church. Church of Pentecost, you have not scratched the surface. You have not scratched the surface. We must not be satisfied with what we have seen or experienced so far. You must not get satisfied with what you've experienced in God so far. Yes, it was a great experience. It was a great move of God, but there's greater things coming. There's greater things coming. There's coming a day that God is going to come and set His kingdom up here on heaven. Yes, you better believe there's greater things coming. And before that day comes, there's going to be a great harvest. There's going to be a great awakening. And let me tell you, Church of Pentecost, you're going to reap the benefits of that harvest. You're going to be part of the reaping. You need to take part of the harvest. God is wanting to open your heart. He's wanting to open your mind so you could advance in faith. God is wanting someone to have faith enough to see teeth, to see diabetes, to see clogged arteries, to see AIDS, to see all kinds of STDs and the effects of drug abuse. God is wanting you to have the faith to see these things healed. He's wanting you to have the faith to see great healings and outpourings of the Holy Ghost. He's wanting you to have the faith to see a great restoration of the lost, a great... It's hard for us to have faith sometimes for healing when we're the cause of the problem. It's hard for us to have the faith for that healing when I cause the problem on myself. When you're the reason you're dealing with what you're dealing with. It's hard to come to God and say, God, heal me. I know that I caused this problem on myself, but would you please heal me? I know I don't deserve it, but please, would you heal me? And you beg Him and you plead with Him. But that's the wrong way to approach it. So many times, all these things that I said, teeth being healed. It's hard for us to believe God could heal my teeth. Because we know how we take care of our teeth. We know how much we floss. We know how many times a day we brush our teeth. Hopefully it's more than none. At least twice. But we know what we do. And we think that, oh, I have this cavity because I got pregnant, and that's just what happens when you get pregnant. Or I got all these cavities because I just didn't take care of my teeth the way I should, and now this is what I have to deal with. And you just think, oh, well, I'll just go to the dentist, and they'll just remove the decay and replace it with a temporary feeling. And we never, ever ask God, would you reverse the damage that I have caused to myself? We never ask God, God, yes, I know I caused this damage, but will you reverse it? Because I believe you can. Because I know that you are more than able to reverse the damage in my teeth. Diabetes. Some are born with it, but there's a lot of us in the United States that we just have really bad eating habits, and we get diabetes because of that. I'm here to declare to you, you need to start having enough faith that even though you're the problem, even though you caused it, you could still come to God boldly and say, God, yes, I know that I'm fallen and I don't make all the right choices, but I believe that you're a good God and you love me and you want to heal me regardless. You want to heal me regardless of my issues, regardless of my failings. And so many times we discount what God can do because we feel like we're the problem. And if we could extend that just beyond healing, you begin to do that about your sin. You cannot do anything about your sin. You don't have power to do that. But because Jesus had the power to do that, He robed Himself in flesh. He came to this earth. He died on a cross. He rose again and He ascended into heaven and He took the price for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. And so we can now live in that victory. We can live in that freedom. We become so reliant on pain reduction or living an impaired life because we can get temporary relief. But God wants me to declare to you today, He is wanting to give you permanent relief. He is wanting to take the temporary solutions out of your life. And He is wanting to give you a permanent solution. He wants to heal you permanently. You need to have enough faith that when you pray for healing, it will be permanent. You need to pray for enough faith that when you go to the doctor, cancer will never be an issue in your life again. You need to pray with that type of faith. God, when you heal me, I believe it's permanent. Because we've relied on pain reduction, permanent relief, sometimes we don't even think is an option. But if you will have the faith, He will do it. This is why we struggle with sins over and over again. If you're here today and you've been dealing with something over and over again and you feel like you have not gotten relief from that, or you feel like you're still struggling with that and it's been 10 years or 20 years or maybe it's been 1 year since you've been in the church and you just feel like you can't overcome the struggle that you've been dealing with, let me tell you, you need to stop praying for relief of the symptoms. You need to pray for permanent removal of the symptoms. You need to start praying and have faith. God, I don't want just a temporary fix today. I've come to this altar for a permanent solution. I've come to this altar for permanent deliverance. You're repenting for pain relief and not deliverance. You're repenting for pain relief, but you're not repenting for deliverance. You're just wanting the shame, the sorrows, the guilt to leave your heart, and then you just go back into it after you leave because you felt good about yourself. But I'm here to declare today, you need to come to this altar with the faith that says, when I leave this place, I'm never going back. I'm never going back to that lifestyle. I'm never going back to those things. I'm never going to believe for those things in my life ever again. I'm not here for a temporary fix. I'm here for a permanent solution. Man, I hope you're getting this. I hope you're putting this in your heart. David says it this way in Psalms 51. Jesus, right now, I pray you would bring revelation to the hearts of these people. You would open their mind right now to receive this, that they would begin to operate in liberty and they would operate in the authority of this truth right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. David says it this way in Psalms 51 in verse 1. It says, have mercy. He began to write this scripture. He wrote this psalm because Nathan the prophet had come to him and said, David, you're the man that has committed murder. You're the man that has had adultery. You're the man that stole another man's wife. And Nathan the prophet began to tell him, you have sinned against God, and if you're not careful, he will cut you out. But David had such a heart of faith that he wrote this psalm, the 51st psalm. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, in other words, according to your character, Lord, you have mercy on me. So when you come to this altar, you can say, O God, have mercy on me according to your character. You're a savior. Your character is that you save people. Your character is that you heal people. God, I'm coming to you according to your character, according to your long suffering. That means that when you do things and you're struggling, that means he will have long suffering towards you, that his mercy extends a long ways. According to the multitude of your tender mercies. And then David says this in verse 2. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. In other words, he's saying, take it completely away. Blot it out like it's never been there. You need to pray these types of prayers. You need to have the kind of faith David had. God, don't just kind of fix it, but completely block it out. Blot it out. Blot out my transgressions. He goes, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. Some of us have been dealing with these sins because we refuse to acknowledge the problem, and you're just wanting that temporary solution. And so when you come and you pray and you're asking God, yes, I know I'm the problem. Would you just please give me relief from this? That's the wrong way to do it. David said, yes, I'm the problem. I caused this problem, but your character is much greater than I am. Your character is that you're a healer, and I'm trusting in you that you would blot out my sins, you would cleanse me from my iniquity, and that you would forget my transgressions. He says, and my sin is always before me against you. If you don't, my sin will always be before me. I don't want my sin to be before me in the presence of God, because in the presence of God, God has to judge it. God cannot not judge sin. He has to judge sin. But that's why he came to this earth as Jesus, wrapped in flesh. He is the creator. He is the healer. He is our savior. And so we could come to him and say, God, yes, there is sin before me, but I'm asking you to wipe it clean. I'm asking you to wipe my slate clean. It says, you only I have sinned against. I have not sinned against anybody else but you, Lord, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. That means when you go before God, when you come to an altar, do not hold back. Do not hold your sins back. Do not think that you need to say it how it is. You need to say it how you've done it. You need to say, God, yes, I did this specifically. I messed up in this way. And you know what? I'm coming to you that you would blot that out, that you would erase that. You don't have to hold back and kind of sugarcoat it for God. He wants to hear your confession. He wants to hear what you're asking of him. And then David says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. If you could understand this, David said, make me.
How many of you have prayed that? God, take my will. I give it to you. Make me have joy. Make me have peace. Make me healed. Make me restored. I give you my will. I give you myself. You can make me do what you want me to do. Surrender to Him. Give Him everything. When was the last time you prayed in that kind of way? When was the last time you said, God, change me. Make me what you need me to. I give you my life. I give you my career. I give you my family. Make me what you need me to be. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Oh, when God confronted David, it was a whooping, and it broke his bones. He said it was like breaking bones. And you might feel that way when you come to this altar. You might feel like it's breaking your bones, that it's hurting you so badly. But you can say, God, help me, help me, help me in that. Hide your face from my sins. And it says, and blot out all my iniquities. And then this is my favorite part in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now, in this scripture, in the Hebrew language, there are two words for create and make. God creates things, man makes things. Only God can create, man only makes. And so in Scripture, the word for create here is bara. And it's the same word used in Genesis chapter 1 when it says that God created the heavens and the earth. And so David is literally saying here, God, create in me a new heart. Don't take the old stuff and just fix it, but completely remove my sin from me. Completely remove the damages. Completely remove all that you have, that I have caused in myself. Completely remove it. Create a new heart, a clean heart inside of me. So it is not too much of us to ask God, yes, I might have went in the world and I might be the cause of my sickness. I might not eat healthy and I might be the cause of my diabetes. Or I might not take care of my teeth the way I need to, and that's why I have cavities. And that's why I have problems with my teeth. And I might have an STD because I was living a lifestyle that I shouldn't. And I might have drug abuse problems with my mind and with my body. And I might have hepatitis C. It doesn't matter. If you go before God, you can say, create in me, create in me, create in me a new blood type, create in me new blood cells. You can say, create in me something new. And so David, as he began to say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. He's saying, God, completely transform me. Make me a new creature. I don't want to be fixed. I don't want to be band-aided up. I want to be completely new. And you can pray big prayers like that. You can have great faith. You can advance in your faith and say, God, I want to be completely new. Church of Pentecost, I'm here to declare to you, it's time to advance in your faith and believe God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that He could ask or think. You need to advance in your faith in God, because He can undo what we've done. He can undo the causes that we have caused on ourselves. If you have come here today and you have diabetes, you can have healing of that. You can have healing of that. If you have come here and you have STDs because of that lifestyle, you can be healed of that. You don't have to suffer from those effects anymore. I'm here to declare to you, you can be healed. You can be restored. You can be delivered. If you're have the effects of drug addiction from your past. You might be here. You might have been drug free for 20, 30 years, but there's still effects that are in your mind that have altered your mind. You could pray today. He can completely restore that. He completely can make your mind complete again. It's time to advance in faith. God has burdened my heart to convince you today. He is wanting to use this church to reverse the effects of sin. That God is wanting to use Church of Pentecost here in Cleveland, Ohio, to reverse the effects sin has caused on the city of Cleveland. This city is hurting. This city is broken. I drove the streets last night. I heard gunshots all the way down to the store. I'm here today to tell you, God wants to use you to reverse the sins of this city. He wants you to reverse the sins of this city. He wants to use you. You must advance in faith today. Someone needs to step out of their comfort zone and have the faith to tell everyone. You need to step out of your comfort zone and have the faith to tell everyone. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. He is a comforter. He is a restorer. He is a provider. He is a protector. You need to have faith to say that when you go up to somebody that needs a healing, you can say, hey, my God's a healer. You need to come to my church. You're going to be healed. When somebody is lost in their sin and they need to be delivered from some type of addiction or oppression, you need to have enough faith that says, if you come to my church, we're going to pray for you. You're going to be delivered. You need to have enough faith that when you speak to someone that's struggling, that you can speak enough faith to them that they will be restored, that they will be made new, that they will begin to get excited. They might not know anything about Pentecost. They might not know anything about the oneness of God. But if you will tell them that God can heal them, God can deliver them, God can set them free, God can restore them, if you will begin to have faith and declare that like never before, you will be completely restored. This church will grow like it's never grown before. This church will be so packed, you won't be able to contain them in these walls. Somebody needs to get excited about the Word of God. Someone needs to get excited about the healing of God. Someone needs to get excited about Him being your protector. You need to get excited about Him being your provider, your restorer, your comforter. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. This church, the Church of Pentecost in Cleveland, needs to be full of people that need healing, that need restoration. This church, this front row should be full of people of wheelchairs, crutches, people that have all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. When the hospital doesn't know what to do with them, they need to have that mentality. Hey, you need to go visit Church of Pentecost. You need to go sit on that front row because pastor's going to come up to you. He's going to lay hands on you. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be completely healed. That needs to be the word in this city. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. It says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadows of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, multitudes gathered from surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. All healed. Oh, we have not scratched the surface, Church of Pentecost. We have not even touched the surface of what God wants to do with this church. He is wanting to reverse the effects of sin. He is wanting to reverse the causes that you are dealing with, the effects of sin that you are dealing with in your life. People had such great faith. Some of them might not even been saved. But they said, hey, you know the apostles, You know, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Matthew, if you will go, and if you will just sit in their presence, not because they're special, but because of the God they serve. And so they begin to just have enough faith. Nobody told them, hey, if you do this, you'll be healed. Nobody told them that, but they knew that Peter could not go around to everybody and just touch them and pray for them. And so they just had enough faith. Hey, he might not be able to touch me. He might not be able to come to me, but if I can just get in the house of God, if I can just get close to the presence of God, I could be made healed. I could be made whole. I could be restored. And so the people had such great faith, they begin to tell their friends and their families and extended loved ones that weren't even in the city, and they begin to declare to them, hey, if you will come, we will put you in the streets, and when the apostles walk by, you're going to receive healing. This city of Cleveland needs to have that type of faith for the Church of Pentecost. Hey, I've tried every doctor. I've went to every dentist. I've tried everything. Pastor, I'm going to come to the Church of Pentecost this Sunday. I believe I'm going to get healed. This city needs to know there's a church that when doctors have failed them, when everybody else has failed, that there's a church that they can receive healing, that they can receive restoration, that they can receive a word from God. Advance in faith. Advance in faith. Advance in faith. The disciples did not tell anybody to do it. They just had the faith to step out and do it. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus never told the woman with the issue of blood that if she would touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. She just made up her mind. I've heard the stories of what Jesus can do. If I could just touch him, I'll be healed. Come on, we have not scratched the surface of what God wants to do. You can have enough faith that says, hey, pastor didn't tell me to do this. I don't even have a scripture verse for this, but if I believe that God can do it, he can, if they will begin to, you know, they used in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus, the centurion came to Jesus, and Jesus was talking to the man, and the man said, you're not worthy, I'm not worthy that you would come, but all you would have to do is speak a word. All you would have to do is speak a word. Do you have enough faith that if you meet someone at the grocery store and you begin to talk to them and they say, hey, my daughter's at home right now. She's sick. My husband's at home right now. They're sick. My children are at home right now. I'm just trying to come and get some flu medicine. I'm just trying to get something. Do you have enough faith that says, hey, I can't come to your house right now, but I promise you when you get home, you won't need to give them medicine. I could promise you right now when you get home, they won't need to go to the doctor. They won't need anything else because I'm going to send prayer to them right now. I'm going to pray for them right now. One word can bring healing in someone's life. If you will let God speak that word through you, if you will have the faith that God can use you to speak those types of words, he will use you. I want to have that type of faith that when someone needs a word, I don't have to go to the place, but I could just speak it. We could speak things right now in this church that when you get home, it can be completely different. In Acts chapter 19:12, it says, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought before his body to the sick, or brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. This is Paul. No wonder why Paul, he wrote in Ephesians chapter 30, or chapter 3 and verse 20. No wonder he wrote the words that God would do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. Because Paul, now, excuse me, Paul never, he didn't somehow think, hey, if you'll take my clothes, they'll be healed. He didn't comprehend that. He didn't even think about that. But people had such great faith. They said, hey, Paul, hey, I know you can't come to my house because you're in prison right now. I know you can't come to my house because you're in chains right now. But would you give me a piece of your clothes? Would you just rip a piece of your garment? I'm going to bring it to my friends. And when I give it to them, they're going to be healed. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. God will do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. So when Paul wrote that, he wasn't thinking that his clothes could heal people, because that wasn't even in his concept, and the clothes couldn't heal them. But they just had enough faith that if they would do it in faith, that the healing would take place. If you will do it in the name of Jesus, there's nothing that God will not do. You need to think out of the box. You need to just step out in faith, out of your comfort zone, and do things. And yes, you need to submit to your authority, and you need to operate in that. But you need to just step out and say, Pastor, I just feel to do this today. I'm going to take this handkerchief. I'm just going to pray on it. If you just wipe your head and there's sweat on it, that's good enough. Come on, that sounds gross, but hey, if you have faith, who knows what God can do? So the question, how do I advance in faith? And I'm almost done, if the musicians will come. How do I advance in faith? The first thing you need to do to advance in faith is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 12. It says, And through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared to join them. But the people esteemed them highly. If you're going to advance in faith, you must have the highest respect for the leadership in your life. You must have the highest regard for the leadership in your life. Why? If you do not respect the authority and the leadership God has placed in your life, you will never operate in the authority and power of God. If you can't respect the authority God has placed, you'll never operate in His power or authority. When you do not reverence and believe in your leaders, you will never bring anyone to church. If you don't believe, and I'm not here to say it's only pastor that can do this, but when you don't believe that when pastor preaches, someone's life is going to be changed, you'll never invite anybody to be changed. If you don't ever believe that when the youth pastor preaches young people, that your friends can be completely different, you'll never invite them to church, because you're too afraid that nothing's going to happen. I've been in a church. I've been in some great churches. But I've been in a church where I was ashamed to invite someone to church, because I knew when they would get to church, they would be hammered with a bunch of questions that were nothing spiritual, and they would be worse for it. That's a terrible place to be. But I want to be in a place where I respect and reverence my leaders in a way that I could go out in the world, I could go to my job, I could go anywhere and say, yes, if you will come to my church and have my pastor pray for you, have the youth pastor pray for you, have the Sunday school teachers pray for you, God will do great things. God will heal them. God will restore them. You can have great faith when you have reverence and respect for the men of God and the women of God in your life. There is no greater... I'm sorry, am I taking too long? There is no greater compliment you can give your pastor or your leaders in this church when you bring someone to church and bring them up for prayer and say, Pastor, I told them that when you lay hands on them and pray for them, that they would be healed. There's no greater compliment you can give your leader when you trust them enough to have the authority and power of God to act on God's behalf. When you respect your leaders, you advance in faith because you have faith that says God has placed them in a position of authority and they can act in that authority and they can empower me to be in authority. Leaders, hear me right now. And can we stand up? Leaders, hear me right now. If you're a leader in this church, it is important that those that follow you esteem you highly. But it is also important that you give them something to esteem. If you are faithless, they will be faithless. If you are negative, they will be negative. Leaders, you are the example. You need to speak so much faith. Everything that comes out of your mouth needs to be in faith. You need to have so much faith that this church can't help but say, hey, you need to come to my church because it's a church of faith. And the last thing I need to say, and I'm done. The second thing you need to do to advance in faith is this. You need to be passionate about your faith. You need to be passionate about your faith. Webster's definition of passion is simply this. A strong and barely controllable emotion. A strong and barely controllable emotion. You need to get emotional about your faith. You need to get passionate about this thing. You need to get passionate about how you can help people, about what God can do. You need to get so passionate that it's such a strong, barely controllable emotion that you can't contain it within yourself. And so when you are at work and you see people struggling, it is such passion inside you that you can't help but tell them, you need God. You need to come to my church. You're going to be healed. You need to have so much passion that when you're on the street and you see someone homeless, you need to begin to pray for them. You need to pray that they can be delivered because it's just such swelling up inside of you. There were 9 people filled with the Holy Ghost. There were many miracles that were done just in the last week in this church. But my question to you, who knows about it? Who knows about what God did last week? Does people only in this church know about it? Or does every family member, does every lost person that you come in contact know about it? The city of Cleveland should be in an uproar with what happens in this church. It should be plastered all over your Facebook pages. It should be plastered all over your Instagram. Hey, there were 9 people filled with the Holy Ghost. There was someone that had tumors that was healed. There was someone that had cancer that was healed. Come on, every time a miracle takes place, this city should be so tired of hearing you talk about miracles. And this is what I was saying earlier. This city needs to know that when something takes place, when the doctors cannot do anything more, when everybody's tried everything, hey, I heard there's this church on this side of town that if you will go to it, I know they can help you. I know they serve a God. I don't know all about it, but I heard that people get healed when they go there. This city needs to know about the Church of Pentecost here in Cleveland. You need to get passionate about the things of God. You need to get passionate about your faith in God, about what He can do. So my altar call is simply this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Your faith will go into what cannot be seen. You cannot see the spirit realm. You cannot see these things. You cannot see God. But your faith causes the unseen to be seen. Your faith will cause the unseen to be seen. That means you cannot see angels, but if you will believe that there are angels around us, that means there's going to be a multitude of angels that can operate in our midst. If you will believe God that He can heal a tumor, then there will be healing of tumors in this church. If you believe that God can heal diabetes or STDs or drug abuse victims or anything, if you will believe God for it, He will do it. So my altar call is this. If you need a healing, if you need something from God, that you cannot see the victory, you cannot see the healing, you cannot see this, I'm here today, there's faith in this building to declare to you, you might not be able to see it, but when you come to this altar, you're going to see your healing, you're going to see your restoration, you're going to see God begin to work on your behalf. If you need a financial miracle, if you need family situations that need to be restored, if there's some church issues, it could be healed today. It could be restored today. Someone wanting to respond. Is there someone that needs healing? Is there someone that needs restoration? Hallelujah. God, help my faith advance today. Help my faith advance today. I want to advance in my faith. I want to have great faith like the apostles. I want to have so much faith that I can tell my friends and family that if you will come to this church, they will be restored by the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus. I proclaim faith over the pastor, Pastor Roberts, right now. I declare that he would begin to receive his miracle, that he would begin to receive his restoration, his healing. God, you know the situations that he's facing. I pray the effects would be reversed. I pray the situation would be reversed right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.